Welcome to episode 72 of the Strength Through Vulnerability podcast. Let's get into it. What is going on, beautiful people? It is so good to be back with you for another episode this week. You know, I've got a really fun conversation coming up for you. It's with an amazing woman named Victoria Dio. She's a Christian. She's an African oracle. She calls herself an alchemist. She does a lot of really, really cool stuff. Here's the thing. She runs this company called Manifestation Kitchen, which is literally everything that I'm about, right? The mission of Manifestation Kitchen is to bring healing through touch, through spoken word, and through, wait for it, you guessed it, food. So, needless to say, I'm super about what she does. I was very interested about what she does. And, you know, to back up all the really cool work that she does, she has an amazing story as well. And we touch on all of that and so much more in this interview, which is coming at you right now. Victoria, it is so good to see you and hear you again. How are you doing today?
Oh, thank you so much, Tommy. I really appreciate it. Welcome from London, UK.
Thank you. Welcome from Portland, Maine, USA. It's like I said, it's really good to connect again. Our initial conversation, I had so much fun talking to you, and you have a really powerful, interesting, and engaging story. I think that your experiences are going to relate, but also inspire so many different people. And so you run this really cool organization called Manifestation Kitchen, but you haven't been doing that your entire life. You were in the corporate world for quite a while before you started diving into your own entrepreneurial side. So I would love to hand over the mic to you, have you share a little bit about where you started and how you got to Manifestation Kitchen.
Oh, wow. It's so funny because I've just been doing another talk today and I feel like this is the story that so many people are interested in. And I think it's one of the most inspirational that I have, actually. I literally had the dream job. I really did. You know, I graduated. I knew I didn't want to work on Saturdays. That was my main condition. It was like, as long as I didn't have a weekend job, I didn't care. And I graduated with, you know, an honors degree. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to go into project management. Mm. And that was, funnily enough, that was the beginning of my aha moments, because I just remember just receiving this message one day. And I went, oh my God, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Little did I know. and I went into the corporate world. I moved to London from the north of England. So moving to London is a big deal even now, you know, because London is, it's full of a lot of people whose family don't live here. You know, there's a lot of people whose family live in the north, abroad. So we have a lot of what I call strays, lovable strays in London. And moving to London was a huge deal. But yeah, I loved my job and I never thought I would move into anything else. But as life has it, after a while, earning six figures and being able to travel all over the world and buy whatever I wanted, live in the most beautiful homes and drive the most amazing cars, I started to realize that something was missing. Mm. It was just that simple. And I couldn't connect to it. But I remembered, you know, I'd be walking home at times and I'd feel so alone and so disconnected from everything. But I really had never analyzed my feelings. So I didn't know what it was. And I remember saying to friends on a number of occasions that I felt as if I was just existing. Mm. Now, if you say that now in this current environment, people would rally around you and make sure you're okay and check your mental health. Mm. And at the time, I don't think it really made sense to anyone. So nobody really paid attention to it. Mm. And then I just started exploring what that was. So I drew the conclusion that I was depressed. I was like, okay, I must be depressed because that was becoming more sexy. You know, it was becoming more sexy to talk about. And so I labeled myself with that, didn't tell anybody. I was terrified to tell my clients at the time because I was a contractor. As a very young woman, black woman, I was just like, hell no, you can't tell anybody because if you tell anyone, you will never work again. And I don't know if that was true or not, but that was my belief at the time. I believed that if I showed any vulnerability, there'd be somebody else who would want to take my place, take my salary. And I wasn't prepared to do that. You know, I was still enjoying that lifestyle. So I kept going. And they always say it's good to talk. You know, they always say when you're going through something, find someone to speak to. And I'm so glad I did because I found the one person I could really confide in at the time. She was my Pilates teacher. And I know, as you do. She was my Pilates teacher. And I said to her, I think I'm depressed and I don't know what to do. And she looked at me and she said, no, you're not. But I know who you need to go and see. And that was the beginning of my journey.
That is so powerful. What a good cliffhanger, by the way. You should write a book.
Impressed with that cliffhanger and stuff that wasn't planned.
Oh, that's awesome. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And now you have me itching to ask you, who'd you go and see?
So my friend Andy, my Pilates teacher, she referred me to a guy and she said, look, go and speak to him. He'll be able to help you. So luckily he lived around the corner. So I went to see him and I must say I didn't really care for his techniques, but he was very sort of like, why are you here? And I was like, I don't know. I got told to come and see you. And he was getting really agitated. He's like, tell me why you're here. I said, I don't know. I said, I think I'm depressed. And then he started asking me some quite interesting questions, which were in the line of, when you walk down the street, do people just stare at you? Yes. When you walk down the street, do people sometimes hug you? Yeah. And the questioning kept on going, and the questions sounded very weird to the normal person, but to me they sounded like, well, yeah, that's what happens to me. And then he asked me the question, do you think this is normal? And I said, well, I've never really thought about it because that's what my life is like. And then he said, you have a gift. And I said, I don't understand because again, to me, a gift was you at Christmas, you buy me a gift, or for my birthday, you buy me a gift. And he tried to explain it and he said, you know, sometimes can you do you foresee things? And I said, yeah, sometimes. And he goes, that's a gift. And I went, I don't know what that means. And I started to get scared because your spirit knows when something unusual is happening or when you're about to have an awakening. So I rang my mum and I rang my mum and I said, apparently I have this gift. What is it? You know, apparently I'm intuitive. What does intuitive mean? I don't think we'd got used to doing Google at the time, or I don't think we'd got used to doing Google as much as we should be doing. And my mum was like, well, you know, we everybody has the gift. We don't really use ours. And that to me was enough. That was enough of an explanation. So this guy was saying to me, you need to come and work with me. I think you could help the world. And I just went, nah, you're okay. I don't know what this is and I'm not interested. And also, I'm a Christian. So I didn't know how that fitted in with my beliefs or anything else. And I was just like, nah, this is quite unusual. So I walked away, said goodbye to him, and carried on living my life for another 10 years and kept on making money and kept on traveling and kept on doing all the things I wanted to do until one day I actually remember the moment. I was living in this beautiful apartment not so far from here. It was stunning. I had my own balcony and it literally faced some horses and the grass was so green. I was driving the car of my dreams. And I remember just driving up to the apartment and this voice inside of me said, "This isn't your home." And I was like, "No, it's not. I need to move." And I was renting it. So I was like, "Yeah, I need to move." And then all of a sudden, a friend mentioned she had a room in her apartment or in her home that she wanted to rent out. And for some reason, because it's not what I would normally do, but I downsized from a three bedroom apartment where I lived on my own and downsized into a one bedroom to go and live. I don't know, even now it sounds unbelievable, but I did exactly that. And I moved in and I was still working, moved in, and within five, no, within 4 weeks of moving in, my life as I knew it completely changed. My job stopped. My job, I'd finished my contract. So that finished. And I never worked again for about 4 years.
Wow.
Like it literally, everything just stopped. And I remember being there thinking, well, at least the rent isn't as much as the three bedroom apartment, but I have all my worldly belongings in a one bedroom. Not even a one bedroom apartment, just a one bedroom. And I was like, oh, what happens? And I started to get scared because I didn't know what to do. I still had money, so that life was still okay, but I was like, but why am I not getting the jobs? And I started to second guess my abilities. I started to think, have I pissed someone off and not realized it? Have I been blacklisted in the industry? I had all these thoughts because I was like, this is not normal. I'd gone from someone who was headhunted for 20 years in some of the top jobs in the corporate world, and all of a sudden, gone, nothing. It was, have you ever watched the film It's a Wonderful Life?
It's pretty sad to say, but I actually haven't. I need to because it's a classic. I'm sorry.
It's a classic. You need to watch it. And the reason why I say that is because in that book, they show a guy who's not happy with his life, but they show his life without him. And I felt for a long time as if my life was happening without me. It was almost as if I didn't exist. Nobody in the corporate world ever rang me. I would ring them, they would remember me. But they never followed up. It was almost as if I had never worked in the corporate world. It was almost as if everything I had achieved, the awards I'd won, the people's lives I changed, got jobs for, it was almost as if none of that had happened. And yeah, and it was lonely and I was embarrassed because I felt like a failure. I felt that at my age, I should be a lot more established and I knew I was so close. I mean, I was already established, but I knew I was so close to reaching another milestone in my life by buying my own home. And all of a sudden, that dream had gone away. And it was a very confusing time. But simultaneously, I started to attract people who would come into my life and say things like, until you surrender to your calling, the pain will not stop. And these were people I'd never met before, but I just kept on running into them. I remember going to We have a shop here called Selfridges. It's a very well-known and established superstore. Is it a superstore? No, it's a department store. And I remember going in there, and there was a woman who saw me, and she looked at me and she went, "You know, you have the gift." And I said, "Well, I've been told." And she said to me, "Until you surrender, the pain will not stop." And I remember just bursting into tears because it was almost as if I was being given bits of a clue that I had to figure out, and I had no idea what that clue was or what I had to figure out. But then, luckily enough, I live not far from a spiritual center. And one day, a friend took me for a meditation class for my birthday. And she just said, "You know what? I think you need a treat." And I think a meditation class was like £7. So I went. I'd never been to a meditation class before. And it was so peace and so relaxing. And I remember going in, and then I met the woman who runs it, and I realized that somebody had been alluding for me to meet her for almost a year. Right. And I didn't know who she was or where I could find her. So I walk into this room and there she is. Anyway, I don't speak to her. I do the meditation, I leave. And a few months later, I decide to go and buy the same friend who bought me my gift to buy her something for her birthday. And I don't know where I got the money from because I was absolutely broke. But I walked in, I remember walking into the shop, and I started choking. And I completely freaked out. So the woman who runs the shop is different from the woman who I'd been told to come and see. She rushes over and she goes, "Are you okay? And can I do anything?" And I said, "I can't breathe. I don't know what's happening." And she went, "Oh, there's some healing happening next door. So you're probably picking up the energy." Meant nothing to me. So she gave me some water and sprayed me with some lavender. And I calmed down, bought what I needed, and left. And then it came to the point where I had to sell my car. So I had a Q7.
I was going to ask you what you had because I'm a big car guy. Okay, Q7. Very nice.
I had a Q7. I had an all black Q7 that I bought brand new and
Cool.
had specially designed.
Wow.
And I loved it.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So it came to the point where I was like, okay. I was like, okay, I need to sell the car. I can't. It's just not feasible anymore. So I remember driving to church one day, and I'm crying in my car, and I'm still thinking, nah, it's not gonna happen. So I start praying, and my friend had recently said to me that she normally asks God for signs. I was like, huh, I've never asked him for a sign before. So I'm driving to church and I say, "Look, can you please give me a sign that everything's going to be okay? I know I need to sell the car, but just give me a sign because I'm terrified. I don't know what the hell's going to happen." And my car meant so much to me, including a lot of significance. It was almost like the car was one of my biggest achievements. And it hurt. It hurt a lot. So as I'm driving, I'm thinking, okay, so what's going to be my sign? And in my brain just literally said a white feather. And it was so funny because my right brain said a white feather, my left brain started laughing. I was like, that's so obvious. And then my right brain was like, but when was the last time you saw a white feather? And then there was just like, well, good point. So I knew that I needed a sign for a white feather that everything's going to be okay. And I went to church, got home afterwards, and my room, it was a decent sized room, but it was still a room with all my crap in it, right? So there was one door of my wardrobe that I kept on leaving open. So I walk into the room and I think to myself, you know what? I'm gonna close that door. So I close the door and I look down on the floor, there's a white feather. And I go, huh. So I pick it up and I think to myself, well, your duvet is full of duck feather, your pillows are full of feathers. But I took a picture of it and I was delighted and I said, thank you, and chilled. Then I went for a nap. So I take go to bed and I pull my duvet off the bed, and right in the middle is another white feather. Now, I normally use black linen. So there's a white feather right in the middle of the bed. So I take a picture and I go, wow, okay. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So fall asleep, get up, go for a walk. And as I go for a walk in the park, which is opposite where I lived, I looked on the floor and there was a spray of white feathers.
Interesting.
I was like, this is so weird. And it's still, I'm a slow woman, right? So it takes me a while. It takes me a while to tweak. So I take pictures and again, I'm excited. And then I go back to the shop the same day to go pick something else up, the spiritual shop. And as I go drive up, I walk into the shop and it is literally raining white feathers. I freak out. Like, I freaked out. And I started crying. I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on. And I took pictures of it. It's somewhere on my phone still. And this woman's looking at me going, what are you doing? And I said, nobody's ever going to believe this story if I don't take photographs, but I don't know what's happening and I'm scared. And she calmed me down and she said, I think you need to start doing psychic development. I went, what the hell's that? And she said, that's where you get to connect your intuition and try and understand what your gifts are. And that's how I started to understand what the gift is, because I had such a painful, a painful start.
Wow, there's so much there. And I'm going to leave the listeners with a cliffhanger for now about what your gift is. Before we get there, one of the big aspects of what you've said so far of your story is that at one point, despite you, I'm going to, throw out a quote, living your best life, you felt like there was just something missing. And I think that that is something that is so relatable to so many people, right? It brings up the question for me. You shared what you did. You opened up to somebody who you could trust, your Pilates teacher, and then she referred you to somebody else. But for those people who come into your life now and have a similar feeling, they feel like, maybe things outside looking in look pretty good, but they still feel like something's missing. What would you say to those people, or what do you say to those people?
Well, I normally say to people that, look, everybody's born with a gift. And sometimes, because of the way that we are conditioned, that gift gets diluted. So we move from the moment we're born, out when we're in our mother's tummy, we literally share the same bloodstream as her, and we take on her beliefs of what she's been conditioned to be. When we're born, we normally come out into the hands of someone who has their own beliefs, and then we get introduced to our family and we get touched and held, and we're in the space of their beliefs. And then we go to nursery school and school, and then we find jobs, and we get thrown and stuck beliefs from everyone else, including the government and the rest of society. So our creative and healing powers don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So what tends to happen is that we literally become a very small version of who we are. However, the version of who we are is very powerful, and you can only escape it for so long. And what will happen is this conditioned person that you have become will exist to a certain point, and then your creative and healing power person is going to come and say, now is the time. And if you don't lean into that, you discover an emptiness that can have very serious circumstances. So when people come to me, I give them that explanation. And I say to them that I can connect you to your healing and creative powers because that's what you were born with. And then that will allow you to have more clarity and, more confidence in what you're trying to do, but most of all, more certainty about who you actually are. Because there's so many people who don't know who they are. Like they're just floating and they don't know, and they don't know how to articulate why they came to this world, because the other conditioning bit has dampened that curiosity. So I start with that conversation, and it's normally something to do with creativity. I remember you saying to myself years ago that I wasn't creative at all. I'm probably one of the most creative people I know. And it's only because I've opened up my gift to allow me to connect to a whole different realm. So when I put things together, I'm surprised at some of the things that I write, some of the posts that I put together, some of the words that I say. Even when I speak, people go, oh my goodness. And I wouldn't say I'm a great speaker, but when I speak, because I connect to my higher self, it seems as if I've been speaking for years. But all that is that I'm living in my purpose. And when we live in our purpose, the doors that open are doors that you could never have imagined. And when I talk about doors, I'm not just talking about opportunities, I'm talking about doors of our soul.
This is so good. And it's so relatable. All the things you're saying are very relatable to me, and I'm sure are so relatable to a lot of the listeners out there. I think, as I've dived into doing this podcasting stuff and everything that I do with Strength Through Vulnerability, it's tapping into this part of me that is so inherently me that when I'm doing it, I light up. I love having these conversations. This is where I feel like I get to express my creativity at its best, because perhaps it's something that my soul is just meant to be doing. And I think the thing that you kept hearing from people, I think, is so true. The suffering, or I might get some of the words wrong, but the suffering won't end until you surrender to your gift or gifts. I think that unfortunately is the case for so many people that are suffering, is that they're stuck in this position where they're not tapping into or surrendering to their gifts, very much because of what you were saying, because there are so many different beliefs that have been passed on to them. Beliefs from, you can't succeed in this, you aren't creative, right? Like what you said, that's something I've struggled with and continue to struggle with, is I've never really been great at traditional art like drawing or painting. So I just cross myself off as not being creative, but I am absolutely creative in
Of course
different
you are.
ways, you know? And so is everybody else out there. And so all of these different lessons or rules that we get taught about ourselves that aren't actually true are holding so many of us in this place of pain and discomfort and struggle where we can't tap into those gifts. So I appreciate you
Completely.
saying
I
all
mean,
that.
oh no, thank you. It's that's the truth. That's the authentic That's the authentic cover that I can give you. Because even with this podcast, you would have to be creative to create a podcast. You would have to be creative to be able to decide on a name for the podcast and decide who you want to bring on the podcast. You know, all of that is part of a creativity, because you're taking people's stories and you're putting it into a currency that's palatable for other people. And that's important. That's hugely important. But also, more than being creative, you're also healing people with words. Because somebody else is going to listen to this and they're going to be resonate, they're going to be able to resonate with what's being said. And it may just change their lives. It may just save their lives. And
Absolutely.
when we tap into our purpose, when we tap into our calling, whatever you want to call it, when we tap into that, there is a flow. And we never know how it's going to happen, but there is a flow. My whole life, there's never been anything in writing on how it was meant to evolve. But because I surrendered to my purpose, the doors have just kept on opening. Even today, you know, we were just talking about Clubhouse earlier on before we came on, and I ran a workshop on there, and just from doing that, I've been asked to do, I think, about three collaborations.
Wow,
And
that's
that's
awesome.
just me leaning into my purpose. Now, what's going to come out of those collaborations? But what I do know is this, is that because I am living in my purpose and I speak about my purpose, that allows me to have my voice heard, which then allows people to connect to my authentic self, and then I attract them and other possibilities.
Yeah, so true. So I love that. And a great example for all the people out there who maybe don't know what Clubhouse is yet. And Victoria, you could probably give a better definition than me, but essentially, it's a brand new social media app. It is all audio based, there is nothing visual about it. It's basically this really cool dynamic where you get to jump in and chat with a bunch of different people about a ton of different topics. You can join rooms with, right now there's celebrities like you were mentioning, like I know Gary V's on there, Grant Cardone's in there, and anybody can just jump into these meetings and talk with these folks. So really cool way to make connections and to have authentic conversation. From my understanding of the app, that's the real basis, because you can really attack people on Twitter. But it's hard to attack people with your voice, you know?
Well, it's so funny because, so yes, your description of it is right. It's almost like a room full of podcasts, and it's so wonderful and the connections, but the rules are very, very, very strict. And if you try to abuse or anything else, then you get removed, and you get removed quite swiftly. So there, everybody on there that I have been in touch with has been very mindful and very respectful. They don't necessarily agree with each other, but there is an etiquette that everybody follows. And you and I are both on there, so your listeners should find us on there, right? And come and speak to us a bit more. But yeah, so it's great. I do enjoy it. It's just a new platform. But somebody said yesterday that they felt it was the best way to communicate with people because everybody on there was present. And especially in these times where we don't seem to be able to connect with our loved ones as much as we'd like to, it was the next best thing. So being present and being your authentic self is something that a lot of people are coming away with from there.
I love it. Yeah, it's really cool. People who are out there who are in it definitely connect with me and Victoria for sure. Very cool app. Victoria, I want to keep moving forward and go back to that cliffhanger that we left the listeners with,
The
the cliffhanger of your gift. So, what is your gift? How have you tapped into it?
So it's quite simple. Well, it's simple to me. So I, you know what? I help both men and women. I lean towards women because I believe that as women, we are nurturers by birth. We're always looking after our children, our husbands, our partners, before we ever look after ourselves. And I feel as if women, we really put ourselves last. And when it comes to connecting to our purpose or even giving ourselves anything worthwhile, we want to make sure that everybody else in the family is good before we do that, before we look after ourselves. So that's why I lean into the women. But I also have male clients. But it's pretty simple. I connect women to their creative and healing powers. And I do that by healing them with food, word, and touch. So I have people who suffer from anxiety, for example. And whilst they may be on a program with me, I will also look at the food that they're eating, and I will give them food to put them in a better state, and to put them in a state that, heals them. So a good tip is turmeric, for example. So if you're stressed, you'll find that you get bloated quite a bit. You get bloated, you feel unease. So turmeric and ginger are really good as an anti-inflammatory. So I'll either make them the drinks, I'll prescribe them the drinks, and they'll have ginger drinks and turmeric drinks. And that will allow the bodies to deflate. Sometimes I'll get people who are really anxious, and I will prescribe them sweet potatoes. Yeah, because sweet potatoes come from the earth. They've got a bit of sweet, they've got some sweetness in them, and they will have it with, say, I'll make them some hummus. So chickpeas. And I do a very simple hummus, which is just chickpeas and really good olive oil and a bit of salt. I don't put any tahini in. I just blend the chickpeas and the oil. And then they use that as a dip. And I promise you, the calming effect is unbelievable.
Really?
So, yeah. So there's all these little tips that I let people into that allows them to continue going through the healing process with me. But the food is really important because food has always been healing. But because we have gone for the fast route, making sure that we don't have to wait for food, food has been coated in so much processing that we're literally eating plastic and cardboard and everything else. But food itself, the natural food, when it's grown naturally, very healing. And it just helps the body as we go through all the different levels of healing.
I love that. Number one, because I'm a huge food guy. So,
so am I.
Anytime that food's involved in healing, let's do it. But I love that you're tapping into that, because for as long as we've known, plants, food, natural food has been our vitamins. It has been our medicine, right?
Right.
And of course, like you said, we've gotten away from that because of we're not eating the healthiest food anymore. And we're also, you know, opting for, we have all these prescription medications, which of course are, they play their part, right? They're definitely good in certain cases, but there really is so much value in focusing on what we're putting into our bodies, not from just a physical perspective, but to your point, for a mental perspective, our spiritual health as well. There's so much at play in there. And it's so cool that you're kind of bringing all these things together. I so much believe in the power of story or the power of word, as you said, the power of physical touch. I don't know exactly what you use in your practice, but even simple things like a hug. There's few things that are more powerful to me than a hug. And food. So for you to combine all three of those things is just so, so cool.
Yeah. And it came, you know, prior to Manifestation Kitchen, I used to own a company called Vic's Kitchen. And now I know it was a dream to actually create a food company. And I used to make cooking sauces and put them in jars and sell them, and shops would sell them. And when I started this journey of realizing that I had a bigger purpose, I still love to cook food, but whenever I cook food, people would say, "Oh my God, Vic, the food is amazing." Now, I am a good cook, but the experience that people were having was way more than me being a good cook. And when it came to understanding my purpose, I knew that I had to find a way to put everything underneath one umbrella and not to let go of that element. So I asked, I literally said, "Look, I want to," I prayed and I said, "Listen, God, I want a company and I want to have everything underneath one roof. And I have no idea how that's going to happen, but just so you know, that's what I need." And again, it's always good to talk because I was talking to a friend one day and I said the exact words, and his words were, "Would you like an introduction?" Sure. I didn't ask who. I just went, yes. And I'm a strong believer of what Richard Branson says, which is, if you get offered an opportunity, say yes first and then figure it out later. So I said yes, and I got introduced to mo the most amazing person, Scott Martin. And Scott is the most amazing brand person I know. And one of the things I really wanted was someone who would love my business as much as I did. And that's exactly what I manifested. And he is the brains behind Manifestation Kitchen.
I love it. It is so
Yeah.
cool. There's so
So
much power in. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
sorry, go on, go on.
I was gonna say there's so much power in making connections and building those relationships. That person reaching out to you, telling you, asking you if you wanted to make a connection, and you saying yes is what led you to doing this really amazing work.
Completely, but also it's asking for what you want. And that's why we called it Manifestation Kitchen, because a lot of people know that I manifest like mad. I ask for what I want and it comes. And it's really funny because I was trying to understand what I was good at, not what my gift was, but what I was good at. And again, I prayed and I said, what am I good at? And literally within minutes, the phone started to ring and people kept on calling me, going, "Vic, so how do you manifest again? You know when you said you wanted X and you got that? And you know when you ended up living in this multi-million pound apartment? And you know when?" I was like, "Yeah, how did you do it?" I was like, "Oh, that's what I'm good at. I'm good at manifesting. I'm good at manifesting, and my genius is cooking, and also my gift is healing." So we pulled it all together. And that's how Manifestation Kitchen came about. But to be able to manifest, and this is why I really focus on the women, you have to believe that you deserve to receive. You have to believe that you deserve to receive. Because just saying, "I want, I want, I want," means nothing. You have to honestly believe that you deserve that you have every right, and that you don't need to do anything other than ask for it. You just need to believe that it's yours.
I love that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
My older sister is super into manifestation too. And I've talked to her. I've asked her, what does manifestation look like? How do you do it? And one of the things she says is really similar to what you just said. It's basically, I'm picturing that it's already done. Picture you
Yeah.
already have it. Live the life as
Yeah.
if you already had it.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. And that doesn't mean that for those of us that are queen manifestors, that we don't get stuck sometimes. But 95% of the time, we do bring in what we want. We do. Like literally. And it doesn't necessarily happen straight away. That's another thing. So, when I run my sessions with people, people come to me and go, "Well, I want money. I want money tomorrow." And I go, "That's not how it works." Because you will receive it at the right time. That's another thing as well. You need to receive it at the right time. I remember years ago, when I was still working, I got offered a job. And prior to that, all my contracts were 6 months, a year. And this job, I remember, was a month by month contract. And I was really, really, really pissed off at it. I was like, hey, you know, I'm really good at what I do. I deserve a longer contract. And they were like, well, that's all we've got. So begrudgingly, I would do the job. And by week three, I'd get nervous and think, oh, God, is it getting renewed? And then they'd renew it at the last minute. And then I'd carry on. And I just felt really, I felt really hard done by. However, I think by month three, I got a phone call, and it was from a company in Holland. And they said, listen, we've heard about you. We would love to get you on a flight. Come in, come and speak to us. There's a position we'd like you to consider. So I got on a plane and I flew over. And this company, it's called the European Patent Office. And it's an exceptional organization. And I walked in, they had a meeting with me, and they offered me the job there and then.
Wow.
And they said, well, and it was, God, it was about three times more than what I was making in the other job in the UK. And everything was being paid for, including my apartment and everything and stuff.
Wow.
Now, if I had been in a longer contract, I would not have been able to start this job the week after.
Amen to that. That's wild.
Right?
Yeah.
And that we never realize why certain things happen in our lives. And as a result, I ended up working for one of the best companies, I believe, in the world for 2 years. I had I actually got given like a 4-year contract. I did two, and then I missed England, so I came back. But I was there for 2 years, and I still have friends there. I have some very, very good friends there.
Wow. That's a great example of why things don't just happen to you. They happen for you, right?
Exactly. 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 Are you a Tony Robbins fan?
I am. Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So I've just interviewed his posture trainer.
Oh,
on my podcast.
No way.
Yes. So I got him in and stuff, and that was wonderful. We did it for New Year's Day. So that was really cool. Yeah. So, but yeah, when people, you can hear when people say certain words, you go, ah, you're a Tony fan. You're a Tony fan. Yeah. So, yeah. So all because I didn't argue, and I went, okay, if it's going to be a month's contract, it's a month's contract. So,
yeah. I love it. Victoria, you've spoken so much wisdom and truth, and I'm just so grateful for your time today. And as I see that we're coming up to our time, and I just want to go through, I've been ending all my podcasts lately with three questions, and I would love to ask you them before I let you go.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's get it. All right. Number one, for all the listeners out there who have listened to your story and the wisdom that you've shared, if they were to walk away with one thing, what would you want that to be?
Remember that your gift is not just about you. Your gift is about the people's lives that you're going to change. So if you are not looking to find out what your gift is, what your purpose is, then you are depriving the world of an amazing gift that could help save lives.
So good. I love that. The second question for you is, in your own words, how would you define vulnerability?
Oh, wow. Vulnerability is the surrender to be seen.
Yeah.
As you are, you know, surrender to be seen as you are, you know, with everything. Faults and all, just surrendering and let people see you, knowing that whatever their opinion is of you is none of your business.
Brilliant. And the last question for you, and I've been asking this to everybody. I'm especially excited to ask you this because you run Manifestation Kitchen. As I mentioned earlier, big food guy. Victoria, what is your favorite meal or food?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. Okay, so oh God. So my parents originate from Cameroon and in West Africa. And when I go home, the one thing that they make for me, there's two things. The one thing that they do make for me whenever I get home, it's a dish called ndole.
How do you spell
And
that? I'm gonna look it up.
N it's N for November, D for Delta, O for Oscar, L for Lima, E for Echo.
Got
It's
it.
called ndole, and it's beautiful. And it's literally, if you are allergic to nuts, this is not for you. But it's literally blanched nuts, and it's stewed, and then we add in what we call bitter leaf, which is really, really healing on its own. And it's called bitter leaf, but the bitter leaf gets washed and the bitterness gets taken out. But it's a green alkaline leaf and it's stunning. And they stew it together and they put fish in and meat in
Oof.
and the prawns. If you're vegetarian, they do vegetarian ones as well. But in Africa, there's very few vegetarians. And yeah, but it's an amazing dish. And you can have it with plantains and yam. But I love it when it's done properly. Oh my goodness, it's just wonderful. So yeah, that's my favorite. And but I'm gonna give you my second one. My second one is grilled fish.
Oh, very
Yeah,
nice.
so
What's your
a
favorite
whole
fish?
fish. I love sea bass.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I'm into tilapia at the moment. Yeah, but as an African, you have it whole, so it's whole, cleaned, and then we score, and then we season with African spices, and then we grill either in the oven or on a fire, and it's just lush. It's just you're making me hungry.
I'm starving. It's dinner time where I'm at, so I'm ready to eat for sure. Oh my gosh. Those are great answers. I'm gonna look up the first one. Ndole, is that how you pronounce it?
Ndole.
Ndole.
Ndole,
I love it.
ndole,
Awesome.
yeah.
Thank you for educating me in so many ways today.
Oh,
And
thank you.
it's been a pleasure to connect with you. And before I officially let you go, how can other people connect with you? How can they learn more about what you do?
Instagram, that's the best way
Instagram.
to find me. If you go to Instagram, Manifestation Kitchen, my bio. I reckon my bio is one of the best bios going because you can find everything about me on my bio. You can find
Perfect.
out my channel, my LinkedIn, my Facebook group, everything.
I
So
love it.
come to, yeah, go just go to Instagram and that's where everything is.
Perfect. Sounds good. People go check her out on Instagram. Victoria, thank you again. This has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, Tommy, thanks so much for having me. I had fun. I wish we could do this for longer.
Good. I know. You'll have to come back on.
I would love to come back. And thank you so much for having me.
Of course. You take care.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye. Until you surrender to your calling, the pain will not stop. Woo-wee! I don't know about you guys, but when Victoria was talking about that and how she was repeatedly told that by random people, I was getting chills. I was like, that's crazy. But man, that quote is so real. That quote is so good. It's something that we can all live into. We all need to surrender to our callings. Heck, our callings, our purpose is why we're here. And I know a lot of us don't know what our calling or our purpose is, and you know what? That's okay. Number one, our calling and our purpose evolves. My calling at this particular moment is to be speaking into your ears through this podcast. Will that be my same calling in 10 years? I don't know. And that's okay. And if you truly don't know what your calling is, like often I have days where I'm like, what the heck am I doing with my life? If you have days like that too, that's all right. That's just an invitation to try different things. It's an invitation to reach out for help, for insight, to ask somebody what they see your gifts are. You know, because a lot of times I think it's easy for us to overlook our gifts. And that can make it really easy to miss what our calling or our purpose is. So I thought that was so powerful. I think Victoria is amazing. We've continued to stay in touch since recording this back in January. It's still January. What the heck? Since early January. And she's just awesome. So please reach out, like connect with her. She would love to connect with you. Check out all the cool stuff she's doing. My voice just cracked. Holy cow. Going through puberty again, perhaps. At the age of 24. I don't think that's normal, but hey, let's keep moving. So seriously, if you definitely connect with her, if you like this podcast, one way you can support me and it doesn't cost you a freaking dime is just leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. But more importantly, sharing this with your friends, with your family, sharing it on social media, allowing other people to get in on these really important and powerful conversations. That it just fills my heart when I see people sharing my episodes or the episodes on here. It's so good. It's an invitation to other people to learn more about what it means to be vulnerable, about what it means to pursue our calling, to pursue our passion, and so much more. So please feel, if you feel like this podcast is worthy of being heard, share it with other people. That means the world to me. I also want to take a second to plug another podcast. It's not mine. It is called The Youth Take, a Maine Boys to Men podcast. The Maine Boys to Men is an amazing organization. You should go and look at their website to see more about what they do, but they are in the work of redefining what masculinity is, what it means to be a man. They provide a lot of education and resources for sexual violence, specifically for men towards women, which is obviously a major, major issue in our world. And what's so cool about this podcast is there are amazing conversations happening about all of the things that we talk about on this show and more. Really, they're hitting some other topics that we haven't hit here yet. But the unique thing about it is it's not somebody who's 24 years old like me talking. It is the Maine Boys to Men Youth Advisory Council talking, which are young adults. I think it's 16 to, it does go to 24 years old. It's young people having these really powerful, important conversations. It is so cool. It's so good. So definitely go and check out that podcast. I'll give you the name again. It is called The Youth Take. The Youth Take, a Maine Boys to Men podcast. Go check them out. They're amazing. The work that the Maine Boys to Men is doing is incredible. So you just go to their website and you can learn a lot more too. You can find ways to support them too if you feel called to do that. But hey, it's so good. I'm so glad to have you on this or to be... What am I saying? It's so good to know that you're listening out there. You know, you are seen, and by you listening, it helps me feel seen too. So thank you so much for your support. You're all amazing. I hope you have an amazing weekend. You all take care.